Welcome to this episode of Sisters Sidebar with Jill Winebanks and me, Barb McQuaid. If you have a question for us, please email us at sistersinlaw@politicon.com or tag us on social media using hashtag sistersinlaw. But don't just type them. We want to hear your voices. So you can record them using a voice memo, email them to us, and we might include it in our next show. So let's get started. Jill, our first question comes to us from Donna in North Carolina.
Many people are talking about impeaching the president using the 25th Amendment, but that is only for one person at a time, isn't it? Would Article 2, Section 4 be a better way to take care of the president and his cabinet? What are your thoughts?
What an interesting question. You are not the only person who has asked about whether Article 2 of the Constitution, Section 4, allows for the overall removal of the president, the vice president, and the cabinet, all in one fell swoop. The answer is no. That's sort of a misreading. It does allow for each of them to be impeached and removed, but each has to be subject to articles of impeachment individually directed at them. Now, could they be combined in one document? They could. You could say we need to impeach all these people and here's why, but there have to be allegations specific to each person. The Constitution allows all of the, you know, the president, the vice president, and all official officers to be impeached, but they have to go through the process of a vote of impeachment and then a trial and conviction in the Senate. So does not differentiate. People think there's a difference between you can only impeach the president one way, but no, you can impeach the vice president and other officers the same way. But each has to have allegations against them, whether it's in one document or multiple documents. Barb, there's a great question from Smith that I'd like you to talk about. With the Hanna virus in the news, when can the government force an individual into quarantine or isolation?
Oh, this is a good question. Smith, if that is your real name. This Hanta virus, Jill, you've probably read about this. This is, you know, on a cruise ship where people have been very ill. Some people died and they have been put into quarantine, I think in Kansas City, right? And they have to stay there for quite a period of time when they come out. And the answer is yes. Both the federal government and every state has a law that permits mandatory government-ordered quarantine. And the reason for it in all of these cases, and they've been upheld, you know, in times of public health crises, including COVID, we have seen challenges to some of these rules. And although we ordinarily have these rights to liberty and to be free from restrictions and only with due process to have them removed, it can be if there is a compelling governmental interest, and that is protecting public health, and that the law is narrowly tailored to achieve it. So for a limited time, whatever time science tells them is necessary to keep someone isolated, to avoid infecting the rest of a community, it is appropriate to do that. So the feds typically have jurisdiction if there is crossing of an international or a national boundary. So somebody coming in from the sea, the Coast Guard has the ability to designate people for quarantine during times of, epidemics and other things. The CDC has the authority under the Public Health Act to quarantine individuals when they're moving from state to state to say you can't leave the state if you have some sort of illness. And then the states themselves have power within a state to order people quarantined for a period of time. So yes, as cruel as it may seem to come back after being stuck on a cruise ship to then have to be in quarantine for a period of time is sometimes necessary to protect the rest of us from getting these illnesses.
My passport just expired and I forgot about it. So I'm on an expedited basis applying for one. And my first reaction is I've got to get this application in fast enough that I do not have Donald Trump's picture in my passport. But is it legal? The answer is, yeah, it's legal. It's never been done. This would be the first time that a living president has put his picture in it. The passport as it currently exists does have, for example, Mount Rushmore engraved in it, which is deceased presidents, but no living president has ever been in the passport. And Personally, I don't think it should be. In the same way, the rule has been no coinage has had a living president on it. But as of now, it's not illegal. And it's if you want it, you can get it. I don't think anyone listening to this podcast is going to want it, but there will be people who are going to be happy to have it. And it, if you do it by mail, it does not happen automatically. If you go in person, I think you can opt out, but it is otherwise the default.
Yeah, you know, this whole idea of Donald Trump putting his face and name on everything is, it's vulgar, it's creepy, it's narcissistic, but you know what else it is? Yep. Is it's authoritarian. I can remember when I was in law school, one of my roommates would, you know, it was during the time when there was a lot of unrest in the Middle East, and you would see these images of people walking around, like carrying pictures of their leader. And I remember my roommate saying, isn't that the weirdest thing? Like, can you ever imagine people walking around with a picture of, you know, at the time it was George H.W. Bush. And we laughed at how absurd that would be. And yet, you know, we see that now with all of the Trump stuff. And it is, when it comes to this, you know, authoritarian playbook, so-called, it is part of that game. It is creates this image that the leader is everywhere, sees everything, is omnipresent, is worshipped. And it crosses over into this almost religious worship. Like, how about the gold statue that he unveiled at the Doral golf course in Florida? Oh my gosh.
You know, that's his golf course. How about the banner at the Department of Justice and other cabinet offices? It's disgusting. And, you know, the only thing I can think of comparable is Roger Stone having a tattoo full size on his back Richard Nixon. So, and you know, let's add, it's not just his picture that'll be on it. It's his signature, his big, bold.
Signature.
It's really, but I think your point about authoritarian rulers is absolutely correct.
Yeah. We talked about in our last show, the package of anti-corruption bills. I would love to see, whether it's a law or just a norm or a campaign pledge, no self-promotion in government, right? The personal meat, like Kash Patel with the bourbon and all, you know, bottle of bourbon with his name on it. You know, do your job. We don't need merch with your name and picture on it.
And how about renaming the Kennedy Center and renaming the Peace Institute? We should not allow this for sure. Yep. Do you keep switching skincare options, hoping something will finally click? That was until OneSkin's science-backed peptide was discovered by their female PhD scientists who founded the company and won us over. Since then, I've become a huge fan of their head-to-toe trio. I use the face and eye cream on my face, and then I use their body cream everywhere else. Now my skin feels smoother and softer with fewer dry patches, and the whole routine takes under 5 minutes. We recommend them all the time, and we keep hearing from our listeners how much they love the results.
OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide is a total game changer. It's been extensively studied for its role in skin longevity and is proven to address a leading driver of visible skin aging, helping skin look and feel younger and healthier over time. Every time I use OneSkin, I give my skin a clear signal to repair damaged cells, support collagen production, and strengthen my skin barrier. Now, whenever I get dried out on planes or when the AC is blasting, I use OneSkin's OS1 Face Topical Supplement to fight back against dryness. It's the perfect supplement for making your skin look fresh and keeping it ready for anything the day throws at you.
With OneSkin, my skin feels so much smoother and way less stressed. Best of all, OneSkin's regimen works fast and the formulas feel amazing when you apply them. This isn't just our experience. OneSkin's results are backed by 4 peer-reviewed clinical studies and over 10,000 5-star reviews. And it's been recognized by Bloomberg as a leader in skin longevity. You really don't need a complicated routine to get healthier, younger-looking skin. Try them and find out for yourself.
Born from more than a decade of longevity research, OneSkin's OS1 peptide is proven to target the visible signs of aging, helping you unlock your healthiest skin now and as you age. For a limited time, try OneSkin with 15% off using code SISTERS at oneskin.co/sisters. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code SISTERS. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. The link is in the show notes. I love my Lola blanket. It's been my go-to gift because it's such a great thing, and I have friends who love them too. You know, when a hard day of work starts winding down, there is nothing better than snuggling up under a Lola blanket. I was saying to my husband yesterday, my favorite thing to do is to go into the living room after dinner, put on a sporting event, you know, the Pistons, the Tigers,
the Cubs.
Sure. They play in the day. You know, it's in the evening and you need that Lola blanket. They're so warm and comfortable that your worries and stress vanish in its soft embrace. Add in your favorite movie, your favorite team, your loved ones, maybe a tasty snack. I usually like a little herbal tea, and it's the highlight of the week. After discovering them on Instagram, our Lola has been a part of so many memories, which is why we decided that the next time we bought a gift for a loved one, it was going to be a Lola, so that they can recreate those moments with something that they can enjoy every day. And I'm not kidding. It is, it has become my go-to gift, and everybody who gets one loves it.
You know, Barb, you can record the Cubs and watch them at night.
Okay.
We record the Cubs and the Seminoles, and we often watch them under the embrace of a Lola blanket.
Okay.
Lola blankets come in tons of colors and beautiful designs, so you can find the perfect fit for any home or personality. They not only make your space warmer and more put together, but their softness is on another level. Each one is so luxurious, and there's no pilling or shedding, just pure comfort. Speaking as a true blanket lover, Lolas are the best. They're crafted with ultra-soft, luxury faux fur, and a signature four-way stretch that somehow makes them both plush and light at the same time. They're machine washable, double hem for durability, and even after countless washes, they look brand new with a wow factor that makes them truly special.
Lola has more than 20,000 five-star reviews, including ours. And once you feel it, you'll know why. There's a reason it's called the world's number one blanket. But the story behind it is what makes it even more special. Lola was founded by two brothers, inspired by their mom, who found comfort in her favorite blanket while living with breast cancer. Later, she gave blankets like hers to her children so they'd always feel that warmth and love. To us, that makes each gifted blanket so much more special.
Once you touch a Lola blanket, you'll know you've got a blanket for life. And for a limited time, our listeners can get 40% off select Lola blanket products with code SISTERS at checkout. Just head to lolablankets.com and use code SISTERS to get 40% off your order. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and let them know we sent you. Wrap yourself in luxury with a Lola blanket. The link is in our show notes. And Barb, we have another question, also on audio, from Sam in San Jose, California.
I'm curious, if Democrats take control of both chambers of Congress again, is it possible for them to pass an act with a mandatory minimum prison sentence for anybody that lies before Congress under oath, specifically for the people that have been pardoned, to let them know that they are going to have to answer for this eventually? Do you think that might cool their jets?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, Sam. The answer is yes. Absolutely yes. So Congress, you know, makes all the laws. It writes the criminal laws, and it gets to set the penalties. The only limit on a penalty is the Eighth Amendment, which, of course, prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. And one of the things that's been held to be cruel and unusual punishment is that which is grossly disproportionate. So sometimes they've held the death penalty. The Supreme Court has held the death penalty to be grossly disproportionate in certain kinds of crimes that are not homicide crimes. You know, so if you said the sentence for littering is 1,000,000 years in prison, that's a mandatory minimum, they would say that's grossly disproportionate. So I think it depends on what that mandatory minimum sentence is. But, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 1 year, the court will not really substitute its judgment. They're not to say, you know, if we were writing on a clean slate, we might pick a different number. It just has to be, and not just disproportionate, grossly disproportionate. So if Congress wanted to write a statute saying that the penalty for lying under oath before Congress is 5 years or 10 years, and it's a mandatory minimum, meaning a judge cannot impose a sentence below that, I think they could absolutely do that. Jill, I've got another audio question I'm going to send your way. This one is from Maureen in California.
Would Randy George, who's recently been forced into retirement by Defense Secretary Hegseth, be allowed to speak publicly about his experience governing the Army during the Trump administration? Or are there rules that limit his ability to speak as a former commander? Thanks. Really love the show.
Great question. And under federal law, both under the UCMJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice, and Department of Defense directives, retired officers do have some limitations, but not many, on their First Amendment rights. There are some restrictions that are primarily regarding partisan politics and not engaging in them while in uniform. But in civilian clothes, it's a different story. Use of contemptuous language and military discipline, interfering with military discipline. We have seen some efforts to limit powers of retired people, like, for example, Senator Mark Kelly has been attempted to be disciplined, but the courts have said it was improper. But again, contemptuous language is penalizable, though it's not very well defined. But I think it's a question of what you say about the president himself, particularly. Political endorsements while in uniform, not allowed. Taking foreign compensation, not allowed. But as a private citizen, you can weigh in. You cannot use classified information that once it's classified, it's you can never reveal it. It doesn't matter whether you're in uniform or out of uniform. And so, yes, I think that he could speak out about other aspects of service in the government and leading the troops in a time of the president being Donald Trump.
Probably a lot of value to come from that kind of free speech.
I think so, particularly because of the rumors that his departure from the military was because of disagreements with military policy.
Okay. Jill, can you imagine some of the books that are going to come out in a couple of years about people who served in this administration? Whew, we had John Bolton with The Room Where It Happened, which may or may not violate the Espionage Act. Can you imagine some of the tell-alls we're going to hear about in a few years?
I hope we're going to hear tell-alls, and I hope that they'll be honest. But the problem is most of this administration is following the desires of Donald Trump, and so they will be incriminating themselves if they tell the truth going forward. So I'm not so sure we're going to get any tell-alls. But Barb, I have one more question for you that comes from Charlene in Santa Monica, California, and it's about the LA mayoral race. And as you know, my former podcast partner in iGen Politics has been a longtime employee of Mayor Bass, now a consultant to Mayor Bass. So I'm particularly interested in this question. And the question is, LA mayoral candidate Spencer Pratt is using AI to put the opposing candidates in his ads. Is there any legal restriction on this? That's such a fascinating question.
Yeah, no, it is a fascinating question. And the answer is no. And I really think this is an area where we need to get our arms around legislatively. You know, we've all seen AI generated content that, you know, some of it's funny, some of it makes, you know, animals do funny things. I've mentioned before how I love those diaper diplomacy little videos where, you know, they make some of our political leaders look like babies. I think they're just funny. But no, and I think there's some real harm that comes from this. I mean, one is it could be that some people get confused and think these are real. That is one of the harms.
Yeah.
There's another, though. You know, I wrote this book on disinformation, and I've done a lot of research in this area. But one of the things it says is that it creates false memories for people. People may not remember where they saw something, even if they knew it was fake at the time. You know, months later, they recall an image of somebody engaged in some bad behavior, and it creates a negative impression about that person. And so there's a lot of damage that can be done with AI if unregulated. And so, you know, what I would consider a modest proposal that I think would be really important to getting our arms around this is to have laws that require just labeling that something was AI generated. You know, in the same way an ad says, I'm Spencer Pratt and I approve this ad. Just say, you know, artificial intelligence was used to create this ad. That would at least allow people to be fully informed. You know, so often the response to people who are advocates for absolute free speech is the best response to speech is more speech. Well, here's more speech, right? We're not telling you you can't do it, but just label it so that voters and consumers are not confused by what they see. At least they know, okay, this is a fake and I should treat it accordingly.
That seems like such a good and easy solution. I just noticed I was submitting a proposal for a YA book, young adult book, and in the form that is required, it says, was any part of this book generated by AI?
Ooh.
I mean, that's a new question that I was surprised to see. And I think it's the right thing. But I have to say, I personally love the AI-generated dancing dogs. They are so cute, how they wag their tail to the music or mimic a diver doing a backflip and landing
in a soft place.
I love those. Those are my favorite AI things. And I don't care that they're fake. I know they're fake.
Right. Well, that's the point.
You look at it, you know.
Fine. You know they're fake, right? Yeah. But I think labeling would go a long way.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sisters Sidebar with me and Barb McQuaid. Please keep sending us your great questions. We love them. And remember, you can send a voice memo by email, and then you'll hear your voice on the show. If you only send a written question, we have to read the question in our own voices, but we love hearing your voice. So please keep sending them. Follow Sisters Sidebar and, of course, our original companion show, which is hashtag sisters-in-law, wherever you listen to podcasts. Please give us a 5-star review so that other people will find the show and start listening to us. Please show some love to today's sponsors, OneSkin and Lola Blankets. The links are in our show notes, and it is those advertisers who make this show possible. Don't forget to pick up sisters-in-law, hashtag sisters-in-law merch, and other goodies at politicon.com/merch. And come back to see us every week on Wednesdays for Sisters Sidebar and on Saturdays for new episodes of hashtag Sisters-in-Law. Thanks for being here today.
No, really?
Is
Come
Murda,
on.
How about Murda? And you saw, what's his name? Harvey
Murda's
Weinstein.
Murda's going to get a new trial.
Harvey Weinstein, a mistrial.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Harvey Weinstein mistrial.
God, what a week. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
Ay, ay.